Good evening, this is Rabbi Maevsky. Tonight's shiur is, we're wishing a refuah shlema for Feige Rochel Bas Chaya, and also Lezecha Nishmas Yafa Bas Yosef Dov, for all those people. I know we mentioned we had a levaya today for somebody named Lazarus previously. I went to yeshiva with Yecheska Lazarus. He was one of 13 children, who was one of my mates in Beis Medrash more than 50 years ago. But there's a lot of Lazaruses I know around. There were 13 children way back then. But nevertheless, we wish everybody well as Zecher Nishmas. There's Lotowitz, of course. I'm wondering if that's part of the Art Scroll family's Lotowitz, from Mayor's Lotowitz. But nevertheless, the Parsha Vayeshev this week is extremely an important one. To me, it was always a very sad Parsha. And it starts off, I called the parasha this week, the title I gave it is Dreams, because obviously we see one thing that's very important. It begins with two dreams, and it ends with two dreams. The difference being a very important one. While we live, we mentioned before, but as when we're living in Eretz Yisrael, we do the dreaming. Once we're in Chutz Laaretz, once we're in Golus, as Yosef was at the end of the parasha, we're busy interpreting the dreams of other people, of the Umos HaOlam. And we see that constantly. And next week again with Miketz, Yosef, interpreting Paro's dream. It's only when we get back to our own land and we have a little Menuchas HaNefesh, we have a little bit of solace and we are clear in our minds. We're living in Eretz Yisrael in peace. And then we could do our own dreaming. We always have to keep that in mind. And that's part of a very big problem, that our minds are clouded. When we're in Golus, we look at things with a cloudy picture. We don't see things clearly, which is very important in this week's parsha. And we'll move on. And right away, we're stuck with the fact that, as we've mentioned, Vayeshev Yaakov Bi'eretz Megurei Aviv. Yaakov, at this point, at being 108 years old, tried to think that he had been through so much already after the Lavan Esav, Esav Lavan, and then Esav again, then my Sedina, then the loss of his mother. His father's still alive, but his father's blind. He's finally home, and he's trying to have a little Menuchas HaNefesh, letting all his children do all the work to keep their family fortune going. And suddenly, it's Kapsu Alo Rugzo Shel Yosef. Right away, the tragedy happens with Yosef falling prey to his brother's miscommunication with Yosef, and having that hatred that, as we mapped out last week, starting with Yaakov, sending off these negative vibes to his children and leading to the mistrust between Yosef and his brothers. But Yosef, in reality, being totally oblivious, which we see in the language of the parsha, totally oblivious to his brother's feelings by the mere fact that he tells these dreams, tells you one thing right there. He has no clue about how they feel about him. And he's sitting at home with his father all the time while they're out slaving away in the fields all day long. And he's home learning with his father. And Yaakov himself doesn't see that too. But what he sees, Yaakov, is he's lived by his visions with God. He's had his dreams at the beginning with the Sulam. And he's looking for the next leader to be. As soon as Yosef comes forth and says, I've had a dream. And Yaakov's immediate reaction is, this is the next leader of Klal Yisrael. Even though he's my son from Rachel, and certainly I would hope that, but nevertheless, even though Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they are just going about their mundane life without having those dreams of Gedula. Yosef is showing signs of having that Gedula, and he realizes that this is the signs of Malchus. And therefore, we see that's why when it says, but Yaakov's first mistake is Vayeshev Yaakov v'Eretz Megurei Aviv. Even though they were now living in the land of Eretz Yisrael, Avram and Yitzchak knew that the Golus was ready to come. Yaakov was trying to relax. Avram and Yitzchak never had those illusions about, even though that God had told them that they would die, Vayosef Elamov Zokem V'Soveya, they would die in peace. But Yaakov was sort of trying to relax too much, and the message is Vayeshev Yaakov Bi'eretz Yeshivas Aviv. Why Bi'eretz Megurei Aviv? Megurei, gure is a temporary life type of lifestyle. And Yaakov was trying to relax by Yeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Megurei Aviv, Be'eretz Kanaan. And of course, we've mentioned so many times, Eileh Toldos Yaakov, the Choser, at the beginning of the word, that Yaakov had a disconnect with his children, with all the Shvatim at this point early on in life. Of course, it's Mali at the end after the Dala, there is a Vav, which signifies the fact that at the end, Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim, he was able to live with the last 17 years of his life with all his children being together under, not necessarily under one roof, but some sort of cohesion in the family at this point in time. So there was some sort of unity in the 17 of the 12 brothers, and of course Dinah. They were all living together in Mitzrayim, even though, albeit it was in Mitzrayim, but nevertheless, they were at least all together. And that's the very interesting beginning, which Yaakov was focusing on. But what he doesn't see is the discord beginning to develop between his son Yosef and the rest of his brothers. And it says, Vayaveh Yosef es dibasam ra'ah el avihem. And what is, if we follow the words carefully, Vayaveh Yosef es dibasam. So it says he brought them, he told Lashon Hara on his brothers, he gave it over to his father. But it's not so much that he gave them es dibasam ra'ah el avihem. But then what is the next pasuk? We have to look at the way the psukim are one after the other, why they come at this point in time. God is always there to explain to us exactly what's on his mind when he formulated the text as we have it. And once he, Vayaveh Yosef es dibasam ra'ah el avihem, when he gave the Lashon Hara over to his father, then it says, V'Yisrael ahav es Yosef mikol banav, ki ven zekunim olo. He saw that Yosef, for whatever reason, was so smart. He was able to discern all the things that they might have been doing wrong, but as a reward for Vayaveh, for giving this Lashon Hara, is V'osalo Ksonis Pasim. And that, of course, is not really the reason he gave him the Ksonis Pasim, but it's certainly to the external appearances to the other brothers, since the father seemingly was rewarding him for bringing the Lashon Hara to the other brothers, because he brought the Lashon Hara, Vayaveh Yosef es dibasam ra'ah el avihem, V'asalo Ksonis Pasim, we follow those sukkim. And therefore, Vayiru Echav Ki Oso, and now the father saw that as a result of this, he was putting all his eggs in the basket of Yosef, and they began to hate him, and there was nothing they could really say that was going to change anything at this point in time. And therefore, he goes ahead, and now, being totally oblivious to the feelings that his brother has for him, and it's very obvious, by Achalom. And he goes ahead and says, V'hinei anachnu ma'almim ma'alumim b'soch ha'sodeh. He's, so to speak, lording it over them in the first dream and then the second dream alone, and one after the other, not just one. And you would think that maybe he would see the faces of his brothers when he's telling them the dream, but he's just totally clueless about what's going on, and the hatred just begins to grow, and even begins to grow even with Yaakov as well, because if you think about it, after all the occurrences that Yaakov was missing Yosef so much, they knew their father was suffering so much all these years, and they didn't want to come, they let Yaakov suffer. So it tells you, not only did they have a hatred for their brother, but while they certainly had a certain modicum of respect for their father, their discord in the family was so great that they would let their, as much as it pained them to see their father suffering, knowing that he was a Navi, but nevertheless, they let him twist in the wind, they let him suffer all these years, and that tells you something about not only the way they felt about Yosef, but the way they felt about their father Yaakov. And we see as it goes on further, and it tells us, so his father says to him, also oblivious to what it's thinking, that he's sending Yosef alone on a mission, and this plagued Yaakov also afterwards, because as we'll see, he is unsure about how the brothers, he's beginning to get an undercurrent of discord between Yosef and his brothers. So he's testing Yosef and saying, Would you mind going to see how your brothers are doing, Yishlom Achecho v'Yishlom Atzon? And when Yosef answers that he will, of course, I will obey what you ask me to do, I will gladly do it, he's thinking perhaps Yosef has made a little peace with his brothers, and if Yosef is not afraid to go, then maybe things aren't that bad. Perhaps he has made some sort of shalom with them. But when he starts out, and it tells us right away, the pasuk is telling us immediately that Yosef has done nothing to alleviate the discord between the brothers, and it says, "V'hinei toeh basodeh," he's lost. And it's just not literally speaking that he was driving along without his GPS telling him where to go, but "V'hinei toeh basodeh." Many times when we go out and we're lost, basodeh, we were lost out in the field. He had the safety of home, but once he was out in the fields amongst the rest of the world, once he was out there in the field, he was lost. He had no clue about the world around him, and at that point in time, and he asked this person, "V'hinei huish," he meets a person, and he says, the person says to him, very interesting, you're looking at, he asked him, what are you looking for? He says, "Etzachai anochim avakesh," I am looking for my brothers. And he answers him very cryptically, "V'yomer huish nosu mizeh." If you think you're looking for your brothers, I heard them talking, and they're not talking about you. They were talking about you, and they're not talking about you as if they were your brothers or that you were their brothers. "V'yomer huish nosu mizeh," that ship has sailed. They're not your brother. He's not their brother, and you are a very distant family now. He didn't want to come right out and tell him, of course. But if we know that this was the Malach telling him these things, it says, "V'yimtzu'ei uish v'inei toeh basodeh," and he says, "V'yomer ish nosu mizeh ki shamati omrim," and he says, "I'll find him in Dothan," and right away we see right away the beginnings of what's about to happen. "V'yiru oso me'racho." He could have just said, "V'yiru oso." Why use the word me'racho? How would they recognize him from such a great distance, from far away? But it says, "Vayiru oso me'rachok." Once again, the usage of the language is giving you license to think about what's going on. He and his brothers were so distant, they were thinking about him as if he had been a distant relative. They could see him coming a mile away. We use that expression sometimes, but this is exactly what the Chumash is trying to tell us. We see him, and they could tell he was coming from so far away. Why did they go all the way out to Dothan? They were just trying to get out from the watchful eye of Yosef, who was always Vayoveh Yosef Estiba Samra Al Abiham. So they decided to go and go far away where Yosef would have no ability to see them. And suddenly, there he comes with his Donis Pasen, waving a red flag in front of the bull, and this sets them off. And Shimon Levi, who we mentioned last week, who had gotten away with what they had planned to do last week when they Shem and God was on the side, God on their side, it says, "Vayovo aloir betach," they had bitachon that God would help them. The same way, once they got away with the calamity of the destruction of last week, albeit they were doing the right thing to a degree, certainly, but nevertheless, once we get away with the murder and mayhem that they committed last week, they feel emboldened to go forward, and perhaps God will be on their side too, since Yosef is a Morid B'Malchus, it's obvious that Reuven is Bechor, and he's trying to usurp the Malucha of the family, and therefore, "Vayiru oso me'rachok uveterem yikrav aleihem," before he was there, they decided they've had enough, and now they decide to kill him. But Reuven is very interesting. It says, "Vayishma Reuven vayatileu mi yodom, vayomer lo nakenu nafesh." Now the Gemara tells us over here, "Vayomer alehem Reuven al tishrachu dam hashlichu oso." Don't, let's not kill him. Let's throw him into the pit. When, of course, it says nechoshim vakrovim, there were scorpions in there. They took off his clothes, and this is saving him. But the fact is, we, v'leman hashivo el aviv, The Torah, once again, the use of language is very interesting because it tells us what was on Reuven's mind. And this is to the detriment of Reuven. This is not saying anything good on the case sticking up to Reuven in any way, shape, or form, because why would he want to throw them into a pit? He's only trying to save his own skin. When it says, Leman Hashivo El Aviv, not for Yosef's sake. Reuven at least had a modicum of respect for his father and not to want to cause his father the anguish of losing the son, but he had no feelings for Yosef. He wanted Yosef dead just as much as the other brothers, and that's why the Torah is using the language, Leman Lahashivo El Aviv, Lahatzilo Somi Adam. Why did he want to save Yosef? Only for the sake of returning him to his father so that the father wouldn't have anguish. But he would just have assumed just as be happy the same amount if Yosef had been done away with at this point in time. The Torah is telling us we have to read the words very carefully. And just as we see, we always think about Yosef being sold by his brothers. The fact remains when it says, Vayim Shuku Vayalu Es Yosef Min Abar, think about what the Pasuk says. They went far away if they threw him in the pit. They sat so far away from the pit. And Vineor Chasish Mielim Ba Migilad Ugmaleim Nosim. And from one direction, they decided they would tell him to the Yishmaelim. But before they had the opportunity for the Yishmaelim, what happened? L'chuvenim Kurenele Yishmaelim Yodenu Al Tivo. What happens? Vayavru Anoshim Midyonim. From a different direction, the Anoshim Midyonim came without any warning from a different direction that they did not see. Vayimshechu Vayalu Es Yosef Min Abar. And the Midyonim, the Socharim, these merchants from a different direction came and they took Yosef out and they sold him to the Ishmaelim. So why, in fact, if that's the case, why do we always have this thought process that the brothers sold Yosef? Of course, they were responsible for the cause of Yosef being sold because they threw him into the pit, and that would be they were accessories after the fact, but the fact remains that they didn't actually do it. The only reason that we think a lot of times when we look at the Haftorah from this week's Sedra says, Al Shlosha Pishei Yisrael V'Al Arboa Lo Ashivenu Al Mechrom BaKesef Tzadik, and we always think, a lot of people think that Pasuk, what is the Haftorah for? It's to give us a reminder of what went on in the Parsha. And we're thinking that reference in Navi is for the story of Yosef. But if you open up the Navi and you read the Parsha in the Nevi'im, all, I say 100% of the Mefarshim on that Pasuk, in that Perek, in the Haftorah, everybody agrees that it's not talking about Yosef. It's talking about the corruption going on in the Melucha at that time amongst the priests, and among the clergy, among the rulers of the time, Al-Mikram, they were overcharging and doing all these things and stealing from the poor people. And that was what it was talking about. It has nothing to do with the story of Yosef. And that's what we're giving thought to that, but it really has nothing to do with it. But nevertheless, when they take the Ksonis Pasim and they tear it and they give it, you know, they blew as a Ksonis Badam, and they sent it back. They themselves knew it would look very bad and suspicious if they themselves brought it back. It says, "Vayichu es vayishlatu sirizim vayipelu es haksonis badam vayishalchu," and they sent it with messengers with other people to say that this ksonis pasim was found. But as we've mentioned, what it says when they present it to Yaakov, and it says, "Vayimoein lehisnachem." What is, you know, Yaakov is the one who's the determiner. He makes the pronouncement, Tarof Toraf Yosef. But it says when they came to pay their respects, Yivayimoein lehisnachem, he would not be consoled. And what is the reason he would not be consoled? I mean, you know, you figure you want to get on and say, but he never really believed that Yosef, this story did not ring true. If you're a detective on the scene, you could not come to grips with this situation. Why was the Ksones, if he was torn to shreds by a wild animal, whether it was a lion, tiger, whatever wild animals would be in those in that particular place, why would the Ksones possum be around? How come it was still there? Did the wild animal ask Yosef to remove his cloak? And it should have been shredded in some way, shape, or form. He certainly didn't take it off so that the lion wouldn't get some wool between his teeth, but whatever animal. But nevertheless, it didn't make a lot of sense why the beged would be intact for them to bring it and that he would be able to recognize the garment. But Yaakov, being a Navi, takes a look to the future and he sees that he can't see that Yosef is either dead or alive. He can't see it because, as I said before, his mind is elsewhere. He doesn't have Menuchas HaNefesh. He's not relaxed. And therefore, Nevuah is only Shuriya Mitoch Simcha. One can only have clear vision of using his Nevuah capabilities when his mind is at ease and total relaxation and in a state of enjoyment or, happiness with his life, so to speak. And when he's going through the turmoil over here, his mind is totally absorbed with the terror of Yosef. And therefore, what he sees is truthfully part of the Nevuah is true, that Yosef is having his problems with the beged. Unfortunately, the beged that he sees in his dream is what eventually happens in the future with Eishes Potiphar, Vayazov Bigdo Biyodo Vayonos Vayetze Hachutza. And he runs away, and Yosef is thrown into the pit. And of course, all of this is all part of the grand plan and the grand scheme of Yosef being put in the cell with the Sara Mashke and the Sara Ofer, which is why the parsha ends with this dream. To me, this is a very sad parsha, but it just to show you how clueless, how Yosef is just rises above and is never concerned too much with it. He has such bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he just is so, not to say oblivious, but he doesn't focus on his own problems. Imagine somebody who's focusing on so many times being thrown in the pit by his brothers, then being sold down to Egypt, then being unjustly accused of having relations with Eishes Potiphar, and wrongly accused again and thrown into the jail once again by the skin of his teeth, not being killed for that, and all of these things going on. And yet, after the Sara Mashke, they come out in the morning and they look sad. You would think that Yosef would be so self-absorbed that he would ask, be so concerned and not look about the problems of others. But Yosef, his head is in the clouds so much as a dreamer. He's always thinking about the future of the dreams that he had. And now he looks at their faces, and he sees Vayaro Samvinam Zoafim. He sees their faces are sad. And instead of not noticing, you would think that he would never notice the pain in other people's faces when he's in jail suffering unjustly for something that he didn't do. And he looks at their faces and says, I see that you're painful. What is your problem? And he goes ahead and to interpret their problem. And not only that, but he goes against the grain, because one would obviously think that the Sara Mashke did the worst crime and the Sara Ofer did the smaller crime, because how could you know that there was a pebble inside a loaf of bread that would be impossible to see unless you ripped apart every piece of bread? How it would be much more easy if, as the Chazal tell us, there was a fly in the cup of wine, which would be very readily visible to the naked eye before you give it to the king. The problem was all he had to do was look at it and see it. So the chait of the Sara Mashke was even worse, which eventually is what Paro was so impressed with Yosef's interpretation that it comes true the way it is. Will we move on to next week's parsha? But Yosef is living literally in a dream world. He is focused on his dreams. Yaakov is focused on the fact that Yosef is the dreamer. He's the dreamer. He's daddy's pet. And therefore, Yaakov does not see the damage that he's doing. He thinks in terms of Abraham giving sway to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak giving sway, letting it be when he said, Gam Baruch Yeh to him, even though he fooled Esau. And instead of Yitzchak coming forth and saying, Yaakov, you did a terrible thing, And now the same thing over here. He's looking at the examples of Avraham and Yitzhak. The fact remains that he doesn't see that his children, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and so on, are not the same as Yishmael and Esau. And this is a lesson in parenting, that when we bring our children up, obviously, we have to be very mindful and notice all the things that we do when we favor one child over another. We may not realize it, or maybe we think we have very good reason, but we also have to be mindful of the way it's the appearance it is to our other children. And for all of these things that happen, even though it was destined to be, this is the way we would go down to Mitzrayim, but still in all, as Chazal tell us, we have paid for this so many different times throughout the ages. When we let our feelings get the best of us without analyzing, realizing that our HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an agenda, and it is all geared towards the eventual coming of Mashiach. Let's hope the Gula Shalema comes. We've gotten out of Egypt. We've been through many Golas. We are in the midst of our getting towards the end, obviously, of our last Golas. May it come speedily in our days. Have a good week. Thank you very much.